So, guys, Perek Hey, short Perek, but still, there's a lot to see here. A lot to see here. Okay. So, Vayhi Bayom Hashlishi. So, I want to go back for a second and really just highlight a conversation between Mordechai and Esther. Between Mordechai and Esther that the Midrash highlights, and it's something which is unbelievable. And it really gets to the crux a little bit of the problem of Megillas Esther, and the problem, the tzara which Am Yisrael is going through is a tzara which we called a national issue, a national identity issue. When I say a national identity issue, I mean that the whole Eretz Yisrael, when Jews aren't connected to Eretz Yisrael, it's a national identity crisis. Understand that we can only be Am Yisrael Be'emet in the fullest form when we're in Eretz Yisrael, but when we are like fish out of water, that is the national identity crisis. And that's what Golos is. Maharal says that when a Jew is outside of Eretz Yisrael, that he's in crisis. He's like a fish out of water. And therefore, the whole Megillas Esther, as we've pointed out, is really this national crisis on a very, just on a very, very strong level. Right, Ad Kedei Kach, that they're celebrating, as we explained by Achashverosh, they're celebrating the disconnection between them and the tzorech for them to be connected to Eretz Yisrael. Right, Hera'a lahem Achashverosh showed them, right, a suda of Eretz Yisrael to show, ki'ilu, you could continue doing all of your glad kosher, all of your minhagim, all of your halachos, but just understand that there's no connection between your national identity, your homeland and your religion. Those are two different things, and that is what we call a national identity crisis. So then when we understand that that's the problem, so then we have to recognize what the solution is. What is the solution? And do we have a solution? And that's what we're going to speak about. So as I mentioned a little bit last time, sort of in passing, and we're going to speak about it a little bit more today, is when does this happen? According to the Midrash, these 3 days are the first 3 days of Pesach. Right? What is the significance? What is the significance of these being the first 3 days of Pesach? So the Midrash says that Esther goes to Mordechai. She says, Lech knosis kol ha'yehudim ha'nimtzayim b'shushan v'tzumu alai v'al tuchlu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim. Mordechai says back to her, Shloshes Yamin, it's Pesach, honey. You can't fast on Pesach. And she says the following line to Mordechai. Pesach? There will be no Pesach. There will be no Am Yisrael. What do you need a Pesach for? What do you need a Pesach for? And it's just such a simple idea. I mean, like, obviously Mordechai knew if there was no Am Yisrael, there wasn't going to be a Pesach. What's the message that the Midrash is trying to say? Whether it happened during Nisan, it doesn't happen during Nisan. What's the message here?
She was the last resort.
But once again, what's the connection to Pesach? So let's think about that question a little bit. Yeah. Huh? There is not going to be any Gula. Not only is it an Indian of Geula, right? Not only is it an Indian of Geula, but Hayom Hazeh Niesa La'am, right? Galus Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim was essentially a representation of Am Yisrael becoming who they were. Until now, they were Bnei Yaakov. They weren't really Bnei Yisrael. Only when they come out of Mitzrayim do they become Bnei Yisrael, when they're on their direction towards Eretz Yisrael. That national identity becomes strong. That's where it's built. So the smicha of Pesach and Purim and this national identity crisis, it's so matim. There couldn't be a greater hashgacha pratis. That imagine you're sitting at the Seder, and I'm sure they sat at the Seder and they said, Ma nishtana halayla azemi kol halelos. What is different? And the question is so much bigger that year. So much greater. We don't eat matzah, we don't eat maror tonight, although we should be. And the question is why? And part of the answer is that we've forgotten who we are a little bit. we were able to come to a situation in which we're sitting in front, we're sitting at a Suda, which is essentially taking being Oker our identity. Okay. With that background, let's get started. Vayhi b'yom hashlishi. So on the third day of fasting, Vatilbash Esther Malchus v'ta'amod b'chatzar beis hamelech hapnimis nochach beis hamelech. What's the significance, guys, of 3 days? Couldn't they have fasted for 1 day? Or 2 days? Or a week? Why 3 days? 3 days is a chazaka? Guys, if you think, just use your brains a little bit. Tell me other times in Tanakh where we have a three-day waiting period. Before Matan Torah. Where else? Huh? Avra Yarden. Where else do we have 3 days? Avra Yarden. We learn about Sefer Yehoshua. Guys, come on, let's think. Right? By Avram. Avram is on his way to the Akedah. That's where Am Yisrael Kiilu gains its national... 3 days. There's a travel of 3 days. We see that 3 days, and there's many times throughout the Tanakh, 3 days represents moving from one place to another place. It's a mahalach that they're going through. They're going through some sort of process. So on the third day, after they're going through this process of tshuva, and we're going to discuss exactly what they're learning there. Vayibi yom ha-shlishi v'atilbash Esther malchus v'ta'amod b'chatzar beis ha-melech ha-pnimis nochach beis hamelech. The description here is frighteningly compared to what we think, right? Which is what is this? What is this? Beis hamelech hapnimis nochach beis hamelech. That's the Kodesh Kadashim mamish, right? So the Zohar says over here that she was davening. She was davening in front of Hashem. V'hamelech yoshev al kisei malchuso. Who's this melech over here? It's the clearest. And we're not only speaking about Achashverosh here, we're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hamelech yoshev al kisei malchuso v'beis hamalchus nochach pesach habayis. He's sitting there. And with this, I usually don't allow myself to go on to drushos and stuff because we try to stick to the psukim, but I think the drashos over here are just so important to even understanding what's going on. The Zohar says that Esther Amalka is almost like the Kohen Gadol. She nechneset lifnai ulifnim. Right? I'm sure Rav Khan speak about it? But there's, no? Is that, that's what he's going to speak? He's going to speak about that in you. Esther Mamish, right? The preparation that she goes through, the fast, the preparation that she goes through, and she goes betoch, In the pnimis, that's mamish the Kohen Gadol. Adkei Kach, the Rav Tzadok says that the Kohen Gadol knows he's going in, and there's a very high chance that he's not coming out. And Esther is mamish kipshuta, the same thing. She knows that there's a chance that she is going in and she is not going to come out. She goes in. Vayihi kiros, and with that, we'll leave the drashos on the side. Vayihi kiros, hamelech es Esther hamalka omedes b'chatzar. Nasachin beinav vayoshet hamelech leester sharvit hazav sher biyado vatikrav ester vatiga berosh hasharvit. Okay, sharvit hazav, Rav Kluger Sefer, amazing. Okay, Beseder, let's not speak about that. That's not Tanakh, okay? But, Chaver, what's going on here? Okay, he sees her, and what does he see? If he's so panicked, if he's so scared, So then, why is she no sechein? So with Pashtus, the thing that we've said throughout this entire tkufa of us learning is vatilakach Esther, vatilakach Esther. Esther is taken bal korcha, and for the first time, in his entire life, in his marriage for 5 years, she is coming to me. She is coming to me. I don't have to call her. This is mamish. This is what Achashverosh prayed for, right?
Why
did he pray for this? Because he wants his wife to love him back, right? Until now, she didn't like him, but now she's coming. Now she's coming. But there's something else over here, and we cannot forget the mental state in which Achashverosh finds himself is in a place of panic, and he doesn't know what she's doing here. But he's overwhelmed by this feeling that finally she's here, right? She's nasachin be'inav. So he takes the sharvit and he passes it over to her. Vayomer la hamelech, malach Esther hamalka, what is it do you want? What is it that you want? I'll give you up to a half of my... It's a weird sentence. Think about that. I'll give you up to a half. So Chazal say, up to a half of my empire. That means not including Yerushalayim, not including the Beis HaMikdash. But with Pashtus, what it means is that he's saying, you can have whatever you want, honey. Why is he saying that? Why is he saying that? Right. He wants to trust her. He wants, right? He's very lonely. He wants to trust her. He wants to trust her, but there's something over here which doesn't make sense. And what doesn't make sense? He knows that the rules are, if you come to my room without permission, you are dead. You're fried. So then what are you doing here, Esther? Ma bakashaseich al chetzi hamalchus vayinasein lach is not only a question of, wow, I love you so much, I want to give you whatever you want, honey, but this must have been so important, whatever, that you were willing to risk your life to come and say this. And Achashverosh wants to know. Vatomer Esther, so then what does she answer? Vatomer Esther, imal hamelech tov, yavo hamelech v'haman hayom el amishte asher asisi lo. She says, I'm keeping you on the ice. Keeping you on thin ice. I'm not going to tell you right now. Come to the party later today. And you know who else is going to be at that party? Haman's going to be at that party. Now, what is Achashverosh thinking? What is he thinking? What is Haman doing there? What does she want? Just tell me. Ma bakashaseich. Al chetzi amalcha. I'll give you whatever you want. What do you? What? Why did you endanger yourself? And why are you inviting Haman? Esther has already started laying the foundations in a few different ways. Okay, first of all, what's clear is she's trying to make Achashverosh even more scared, right? Maybe her and Haman have something out for, maybe they're going to kill me. What does she want with Haman? Who does she know? How does she know? What's the Shaychus Bechlau? Maybe she's trying to make him jealous. Maybe she's trying to make him jealous. Not only that, but it's clear that the reason why she's inviting Haman is why? Because Haman has no idea why he's being invited to this party. What is she going to say? We all know what she's going to say. She's going to say, this mamzer is going to try to kill my whole country. But you know what politicians are the best at? They're the best at waiting, okay, not being caught off guard. And they can release through the press some sort of statement. But when you catch him, right, red-handed, you catch him right there, he's going to be dumbfounded. What am I supposed to say? So Esther is very thoughtful throughout this entire process. She invites Haman. She goes to Achashverosh. She's getting him scared. Vayomer HaMelech, Maharu es Haman. We see. What is he in such a rush for? I want to know what's going on. Maharu es Haman la'asos es dvar Esther. Ve'avo HaMelech ve'aman el mishte asher asta Esther. So he comes to this party, and Achashverosh is mamish, shaking in his boots. I can't even imagine what he's going through. Imagine all the things. Is she cheating on me? Are they going to kill me? They're probably going to take the kingship away from me. The Demi king, the guy that I gave, and now he's going to be with my wife. Yeah.
I think before when it said Gevo and Haman Hayom,
yeah.
I think highlight the bold the first letters, spells Hashem's name. Do you have
a reason
for that?
Yavo Hamelech VeHaman Hayom. I don't know. It's another way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned throughout the Megillah. So either way, he says, you gotta go. Let's go. Okay, so they show up to the party. And everyone's drinking, everyone's having a good time. Everyone besides for Achashverosh.
Just them three.
Huh? Just the three of them. The same tone, the same words. What is wrong? What are you doing? What's going on here? Why is Haman here? Right? There are so many words which aren't said here, which he's saying with his tone. Vatan Esther Vatomer Sheilasiu Bakashasi. So she says, this is my request. This is my request. This is why I endangered my life. Imatsasi chein beinei amelech. V'imala melech tov, l'seisa she'in l'si, v'la'asosis bakashasi, yavo ha'melech v'hamana l'mishte asher eset lahem, u'machar eset kedvar ha'melech. What? What? Seriously? Seriously, this is exactly what Esther is doing. She's doing it on purpose. Because she knows that Ahasuerus is so scared. She knows that Ahasuerus has no idea what's going on. So by pushing it off until tomorrow for another party, seriously, she knows that she's stirring. She's stirring everyone here. She's very thoughtful. This entire process is very thought through. Not only that, but I, once again, this is like Bederech Agav. The drasha here is clear. Is that Machar, where else do we see Machar, guys? Machar. Amalek is always Machar. Amalek is always Machar. The first time where we see Amalek, by Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua, right? Moshe says, Kach lecha anashim, take people, v'tzeli lachem ba'amalek, Machar. Go and fight them tomorrow. Why is it tomorrow? Why is the we'll see by Shol also is Machar. And over here it's Machar also. What is Amalek? Amalek is gematria Safek. It's all they tell you in life, Amalek, or that part inside of us, that insecurity tells us, oh, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow. You know, you could start tomorrow. You could start the diet tomorrow. Right? That's Amalek, Mamish. You could start tomorrow. So the reason why Am Yisrael fights tomorrow. The reason why Am Yisrael fights tomorrow is because they realize that that's where Amalek has its power. So Esther also says, tomorrow there'll be a party. Vayitze Haman b'yom ahu, sameach v'tov lev, gevald.
Huh? Why wouldn't you just do it now?
Because Amalek has a strong koach on the second day.
Yeah, so why don't you do it on the
day
to day? Why do you
want to
go up against a strong koach?
I don't know.
To beat it.
That because that's what our Avos did. Meaning that's what Moshe Rabbeinu told Yoshua to do. So why is it then? Just like they have a special call. Meaning like they're always telling you not today. They're telling you tomorrow. So our fight is for tomorrow. But it's also for today. Taka, I have to think about that a little bit more. Yeah. Esther is scared?
Yeah.
And therefore she's just like... She's like mumbling. I can't. Tomorrow. Come on. It's possible.
I think when they land, they take a break.
Right.
They pause after Pesach Zion.
Right. Right.
As if taking a break.
Over here, it's like a long sentence, right? It's a long sentence. Nachon. Yeah. What can we
say? Her playing him like.
Yes, of course. That's exactly the long sentences is like, you know what, honey? Finally, I'm going to tell you. She's like, she's getting him going. Okay, get to the end of the sentence, right? We want to know what's at the end of the sentence, but the sentence never ends, right? And the sentence, we're only going to find out the rest of the sentence tomorrow. Yeah.
I would say the first suit was get off the stairs thinking, then the second suit was get home thinking.
Right. Well, let's take a look. What happens to Haman? Vayitzei Haman b'yom ahu sameach v'tov lev. Haman is like you understand. He's on like he's on cloud nine, right? He's amazing. Gevald ukir os Haman is Mordechai b'shar haMelech v'lo kam v'lo zami meno v'yimalei Haman al Mordechai chema. He has everything, mamish in the world, everything. And we spoke about this in the Sichas Moser. He has everything, but he doesn't have everything. But he knows he was invited to the party. So he goes home, brings his whole family in. Kanira Haman didn't get home very much. He has to tell them the whole story. It's a very weird thing to tell. Take a look what he's...
Why is he telling
them
how many sons he has?
Yeah, he brings his wife, and he says, Vayisaper lahem haman es kvodo shro verov banav ves kol asher gidlo hamelech. Like, first, all of the kids, that means that like you're married to other people. Like, what is this? You're telling your wife... Haman was like a sociopath. You understand? He's like he's you know, and that everything that we got this promotion. Vayomer Haman aflo ivya Esther amalka im amelech ala mishteh asher asta kimosi. She didn't invite anyone else besides for me, Esther, to this special party. Vigam v'machar ani karula im amelech. Tomorrow there's also a party and I'm invited. However, v'chol ze inenu shaveli. V'chol eis asher ani roes Mordechai Yehudi yoshev v'shar hamelech. Guys, if you remember from the Sichas Moser, what did we say? I think I said this year. About Kol. That what the midah of the avos, the midah of the avos is bakol mikol kol, right? Va'avram va'Hashem birachas Avram bakol is that Jews have what they need. When Yaakov and Esav is the grandfather of Haman, right? When Yaakov goes to Esav, he says that I yeshli kol, right? Esav says yeshli rav, right? So what is his einikol? What does Esav's einikol say? V'chol ze'inenu shaveli. I might have, you know, everything that I need, but it's not enough for me. I want Rav. V'chol zein enosh. I has everything in the world. But this Mordechai, this Jew, won't bow down. V'chol es asher ani roes Mordechai hayudi yoshev b'shar hamelech. So long as he's not respecting me, it makes me crazy. V'tomer lo zeresh ishto v'chol lo avav yasu eitz gavoa chamishim ama. Ubaboker emor lamelech vayitlu es Mordechai alav. Uvoim amelech al mishtas sameach. Vayitav hadavar lifnei Haman vayas ha'etz. Hold on. This doesn't make any sense. Zeresh obviously doesn't understand and doesn't understand essentially what she's saying right now. Because we explain that Haman doesn't kill Mordechai. Why? Vayivez beinav is bepashtus, is that he's scared of Mordechai. He realizes that if he kills Mordechai, the king is going to recognize or realize that it's really some sort of rebellion against him, because Mordechai saved his life. So then what has changed? What has changed? What has changed that now he's willing to? Zeresh obviously doesn't understand that cheshbon, right? Make this 50 amma gallows and hang him the following day. What changes by Haman?
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. He feels more powerful. He feels more powerful. He was a little bit drunk, right? He can get away with it. He thinks that he's more powerful now. It's very possible. And I just want to finish the last minute with another very interesting midrash, and that has to do with the Chazara of Tshuva. Because really, in Megillas Esther, you don't really see. There's not really. It's not spelled out, the Tshuva process. Of Am Yisrael, meaning like there's a tshuva process. No. B'pashtus, there's like they fast, they don't eat, they daven, whatever it is. But there's no tshuva process which is spelled out. So the Gemara says a very wild thing, or it's Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, I'm not sure where the Midrash is. The Midrash says that when Haman left the party, so he walks by and he sees Mordechai sitting down with a base medrash filled with little kids. Filled with little kids. And Haman says, tomorrow I'm going to come, I'm going to hang your Rebbe, and I'm going to kill all of you, 22,000 students. Crazy medrash. What a crazy guy. Anyways, he says before, just to play around with it, he goes over to one of the young kids, and he says, Nu, what are you learning? What are you learning? So different midrashim as to different answers as to what exactly they're learning. All of them are a shtuch towards Haman. Like, speaking about Esav, that you're a big Russia, whatever. But it's very interesting. There's one day in the Gemara that what they were learning about was the Korban HaOmer. The Korban HaOmer. Now, what does the Korban HaOmer have anything to do with Purim? What does it have to do with Tshuva? Right? It was Pesach, right? First of all, it's in Yana Diyoma, right? In Yana Diyoma, the second day. The second day, they're learning about the Korban HaOmer. That's when they used to bring the Korban HaOmer. There's something very unique about Korban HaOmer, which is that Korban HaOmer is a Korban HaTzibur. It's a Korban HaTzibur. And it's a Korban which we only bring in Eretz Yisrael when we have the Beis HaMikdash. So what they're learning about, essentially, is a tikkun of the lost identity that they had. You understand? They're learning about that Korban HaOmer because they realize that until we go and we return to Eretz Yisrael, and until we return and we have the Beis HaMikdash as in the right way, and as and until we bring that Korban Tzibur, this isn't real life. This is make believe. And the question that we're going to have to ask ourselves is, we're going to have to revisit ourselves at the end of the Megillah and see, did Am Yisrael really make that change? All right, guys. Shkoyach.